Hi, Jason.
Hi, Jane. It's a pleasure meeting you.
Nice meeting you, too.
So you have a show coming up here at the Birchmere. We just interviewed Leighton Meester of Gossip Girl fame, who just played there a couple weeks ago, and now we have you coming there, too. It's like the Birchmere is taking Hollywood and showing their musical side.
Yeah. Is she a singer as well?
Yeah. This is her, I think it's her debut solo tour. We were her first stop. I think she was like featured on some pop songs of other artists, but this is her first solo album. Yeah.
Oh, good for her.
How about for you? Yeah, exactly. Well, how about for you? How long have you been at that end of the career?
Well, you know, that was the beginning of my career. It was, it's cabaret and sketch and, kind of going into established stage shows and doing my thing and working with ensembles. And that's where I started, you know, with Second City and doing one-person shows and stuff like that. But never by myself, really. I call them one-person shows. And this looks like a one-person show as well. But actually, I'm touring with a five-piece band. They are amazing. And Kate Flannery from The Office, she played Meredith the Drunk. She's a friend, and we've been singing together for decades. And we have a blast. We're doing all sorts of different songs, lots of different forms. We've got some obscure jazz stuff, an obscure Irving Berlin tune, some show tunes that we've turned on their ear, and hopefully some hilarious patter. And it's a fast, fun, furious hour, which is the way I like to do it.
But just get back to what you were saying about it's fun how it's kind of come full circle, right? Doing one person show, yeah. Second City, and everything, and then probably the last thing you expected was to go off into movies and TV, and now you've come all the way back around to one person shows again. It's a wild ride, huh?
Exactly. And you know, when I was doing movies and TV, which of course I'm still doing, but I never thought I wanted to go back to theater. I really the thought of doing a live show was no longer like a ticklish thing for me. And then I did Annie on Broadway, and it all came back to me. And I loved it, and I got the bug again, and that's really what led to my doing this cabaret show that I'm currently touring with.
Absolutely. Let's go a little through some of your career highlights, if you like. One of the first things I remember, and this might be, underrated in your mind of accomplishments, but the first thing I remember seeing you in was The Fugitive.
Mm-hmm. I was a theater person at that time. It was shot in Chicago. That's where I was doing theater. And I, kind of lucked into this role. I didn't audition for it or anything. For some reason, the casting person who saw me in the real live Brady Bunch on a shitty little stage in a garage in Chicago thought I might be good as the lab technician.
For Harrison Ford's Hunt for the One-Armed Man, yeah.
Yeah, isn't that something?
That's funny. Yeah. What was it like working with Harrison?
Oh, great. You know, he was a real pro. He was really nice to me. I was very young. I guess I was 30, which was much younger than I am now. And it was the first time I'd really acted in a movie, seriously acted in a movie. I'd done little silly turns and things like Vice Versa. Anything that came into town, I would get a small part in. But yeah, he was great, and he took me into his trailer, and we kind of reworked the scene, and because he didn't like the way it was written, so we kind of reworked it, and it was a very satisfying, kind of a peak experience for me back then.
Well, and that kind of was your transition from the live realm to, on camera.
Yeah.
While The Fugitive was more serious, I'm sure The 40-Year-Old Virgin was you more at home in your comedic realm. You were absolutely hysterical in that film.
Oh, thank you so much. And that's celebrating its 10-year anniversary this year.
Absolutely.
But before that, I had done Best in Show. I started doing
That's right. What was it like working with that? I mean, it's funny you mentioned the drunk from The Office, as you put it a few seconds ago. but, in a way, you guys, Guest was pioneering that whole mockumentary. And then with 40-Year-Old Virgin, you kind of helped put Steve Carell on the map. And then there he is working on The Office with her. Things kind of come full circle.
Oh, yeah. It was a very small world at that point. In fact, when we were doing... It was Steve's first, Steve is a Chicagoan, too. Well, he grew up in, I think, San Francisco or Boston or something. But we were at Second City at the same time.
Ah,
and
okay.
Kate was there as well. And so for Steve, it was his first star turn. And he had just shot The Office pilot. So he didn't even know that was going to become a series, mm-hmm. much less a hit.
Right.
And he didn't know he was going to be a big star at that point either. All signs were pointing toward it. But yeah, that was a big year for Steve. It was a big year for me too.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look back at that movie, I mean, just let's talk about it because it's the 10-year anniversary. So many stars came from that. I mean, you went on to do Glee. I mean, Seth Rogen skyrocketed. Steve Carell skyrocketed.
Yeah.
You have Jonah Hill, like, you know, buying the shoes and the thing. I mean, so many people took off from that movie. Well, I mean, do you think that it's going to help its legacy? You know, maybe 50 years we look back at, you know, in a way.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
You know who else was in that movie? Had a very small part. Kevin Hart.
Yeah, you're right. So
he played a customer at the tech store.
You're absolutely right. There's
the hottest thing now.
Yeah, so many people came from that movie. Do you think it will rank among? I mean, I think it will among, you know, all time great comedies.
You think so? I think a lot of people do. I mean, I think it's excellent. I haven't seen it in a while, and I'm sure it stands up. It was also Judd Apatow's first directing turn, mm-hmm. the first time he directed a movie. And it put him on the map. It kind of started this whole thing for all of them, and including me, of this trajectory of a particular kind of comic film that was, you know, kind of loosely scripted, a lot of improv, and, you know, kind of everybody, you know, the best joke wins, even though there were people who were considered the stars of the film. It was very ensemble feeling. You know, everybody's character was really developed, mm-hmm. and they all came with their own thing. That just kind of started a trend.
Absolutely. And then
it led to some TV shows too that way too, some very ensemble-y TV shows.
Absolutely. Speaking of which, then you show up on Glee, and then it's its own huge, massive success, which, I mean, did the fact that was a music show, did that kind of start bringing you back more towards the live? You know, if we're talking about your trajectory, did that bring you?
I bet it did. Yeah. I bet it did, because I got to do a few songs on Glee that were really fun, and it kind of got me back in touch with how much I love to sing. Mm-hmm. So definitely, I think that led to my desire to get back on stage to do Annie and then to do this show.
How much longer is Glee on? Aren't you guys on your final run here?
We are on our final run. We've finished. We finished shooting last week or the week before last. And I believe in 3 weeks the finale will air.
What was the final shooting day like to have to say goodbye to all those folks that you were so close
with? Well, it was the last 3 days that was really hard. It was like the countdown started the last 3 days. And they were very sad. And it was also really fun. Everybody laughing uncontrollably. Crying uncontrollably. It was full of emotion. It was a lot of fun.
And it's more than just most shows. I mean, you guys have been through a lot together with, you know, Corey and everything else. I mean, I'm sure it was almost like a family that you have to say goodbye to.
Yes, indeed. It was like a family. And it really showed, you know, at the end there, everybody was in tears.
Are we going to, I mean, the finale hasn't aired yet. Are we going to see, you know, some real life emotions carrying on to the screen?
Oh, yeah. Probably, I would imagine. I think there might be a teary scene or two in it. We jump ahead 5 years at one point in the finale. And it's kind of fun to see where the writers have imagined that these people end up. And it's all very uplifting and heartening. And, you know, it's about everybody feeling, you know, expressing themselves in their own individual way and being supported by each other all along the way.
Do you think you and, you know, the rest of the people in the show and the show itself reinvigorated a sort of interest in musical theater? Because there weren't many, you know, at least movie musicals and things of that nature weren't really made throughout the 90s unless it was maybe a Disney movie. But, you know, probably starting around the time Glee came back around and, you know, you had Chicago and Moulin Rouge and stuff. But, I mean, I feel like there's been a reinvigoration of that in no small part to you guys.
Yeah, I do, too. I think Ryan Murphy got it right. And it worked, and it inspired people to, you know, explore music as a means in television and film. And also, I believe it impacted kids a lot. I think a lot of musical theater people, you know, came out of the closet, so to speak, and claimed that, you know, I might be the football player, but I want to be in the musical. Because I hear that, I don't have any stats for this, of course, but people tell me that they're the amount of kids auditioning for the school musical in some places has gone up because of the people's love for Glee.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of our modern-day Rydell High, you know? It's something that the pop phenomenon that took place in the high school hallways. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
So bringing it full circle then back to, you know, the show here this month at the Birchmere. Have you been to DC area much?
I do get to the DC area much. I have not been to Alexandria or the Birchmere, so I'm really looking forward to that. But I have friends in DC, and hopefully they're all coming out, and hopefully all of your listeners or your readers will come out. We're going to be there for two nights, and it's a nice, intimate venue compared to what we've been playing in, so we're really looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Where are you in your tour? Where are we along the way?
It's a spotty tour. It's not like we're gone for weeks at a time. Mm-hmm. So we've done probably six shows total, maybe five, six. We've done six shows total in this maybe 20-date tour. So we're into it, you know, we're well into it, and we're having a blast. We're loving it.
Is there going to be a lot of audience interaction?
Not so much like everybody clap your hands or, oh, can I have a first line dialogue? That's not going to happen.
Right.
You know, the great thing about a live theater event is that indeed the audience takes part and has a great deal to do with it. It's a communication between the two of us, the entity of the audience and our entity there on stage. And, it's very invigorating, and it's joyful. It's when I'm my happiest. It's really, truly when I'm my happiest.
Well, hopefully you are very, very happy when you come here, and thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Oh, I know I will be.
Thanks so much for taking the time and going through your whole career. Sometimes people just want to talk about the here and now, and I appreciate you taking the time to kind of go through it all with me.
No problem. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
All right. Good luck. Thanks for coming.
You bet. Bye-bye.